Over the last several weeks, we've been talking about looking ahead and what the future is in this new year. We sing that song every week so far, and about being new and what God is doing and changing us. And the past is there; that's a reality, but He's making us new, and those things. So we do honor God in that and looking ahead. And one of the things we need to be aware of and watch as we look ahead is what those things are, you know, and stuff that are out there. You know, as you drive your car, you can look down and see the road in front of you. And our choice is whether I'm going to watch the next 20 feet in front of me, or I'm going to watch, you know, 100 yards down in front of me or a mile down in front of me to see what's going on so I can be prepared. And one of the things that we need to be prepared for is the things that we see around us, not only in the road, but in spiritual ways, of the things that are there and what is being presented as something that is from God as opposed to what His Word says. I don't know if you saw the news item this week about billboards. There's several of them across the United States that have gone up. And if you can see it there, there's a man standing on the platform of the billboard, and he's got a big paintbrush, and he's rolling over the word "not" in there. That billboard proclaimed Jesus is not God. And it's the one of the things that we need to realize of what is out there. What are we heading toward? What are we doing? And stuff that in that. And that billboard is linked to the organization World's Last Chance. And that group proclaims to be Christian in what they're doing. But it denies the deity of Jesus. It means that Jesus is not God, is what they're saying. It's just like their billboard says. They're proclaiming those things and stuff. And they don't believe in the Trinity, that God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. That's not part of what they believe, even though they call themselves Christian. So when we look at the things around us and we say, oh yeah, that's a Christian organization, what do we know about what they believe? What do we see and take in because of, or do we just go, oh yeah, I believe everything they believe because they said they were a Christian and stuff. One of the things that they believe in their statement of faith is that salvation comes through obeying the Torah, the five books of the law, including the Old Testament dietary laws. That's how you're saved, as opposed through Jesus. And that's there. And did you get my email this week about the article about who is Jesus and the Christians? We need to know what we believe. On our website, we've got an article that says, ask the question, who is Jesus? And outline some of the things that says, this is what we believe in, who Jesus is and what He stands for and how we believe these things and follow them. Otherwise, we're going to fall prey to false teachings, things that would lead us astray, like example of this possibility, and realizing what Peter tells us in 2 Peter. He says, but there are also false teachers in Israel, just as there will be false teachers among you. They will cleverly teach destructive heresies and even deny the master who bought them. In this way, they will bring sudden destruction on themselves. Many will follow their evil teaching and shameful immorality, and because of these teachers, the way of truth will be slandered. Now that's a picture of what some of these beliefs that are being out there do in us. And unless we're careful, just this morning in Bible study this morning, we were talking about following the Word of God and what He teaches us. And he's saying, don't let these other nations infect you with their belief of what they believe in their gods and their idols and the shameful things that they do. It's an infection that gets into us, and like a cold or other disease, and just all of a sudden, we're overwhelmed by that little thing that comes in. It's not a point of where we can say, oh, well, that's not that bad. I'll have that. I'll let that be a part of. It's like if I was to bake some brownies for you and they looked really nice, and I said, yeah, these are great. I've got these for you. And there's only just a little bit of dog poop I put in it. how many of you are going to eat the brownie? No, we don't want that, you know, and stuff that is there. And we need to be able to discern that for ourselves about the spiritual things of life going up. That's not what God's word says. The world's last chance that we were talking about was founded in the early 2000s. And it also spreads other conspiracy theories in what they do, including flat earth theory, that the earth is just a flat table instead of a round globe. And they follow the lunisolar calendar, which leads to a floating Sabbath, that it changes whenever the Sabbath is because of the lunar pattern that's there. And it equates Sunday worship with the mark of the beast and stuff. So they would say, we're following the mark of the beast because we meet on Sundays and stuff of those things. And yet, that's the day when our Savior rose from the dead. That's why we meet on Sundays, is because of what Jesus did in that saving us and giving us new life in there. Also this week, I sent you some information about the Minnesota Capitol building and the plaque that was on the wall that says, "The Democrat Coalition of Satan Worshippers thanks Governor Tim Walz for not standing in the way of spreading Satanism in the state Capitol building. Satan has a special place for you." And I believe that last sentence is correct. and stuff that it is there. But to realize what we need to be aware of as Christians and not just blindly go, oh, that's no big deal. That's just a little bit. It's like that dog poop in the brownies. It matters. It matters what we do. The Satanist congregational leader said in an interview that the group wanted to exercise its free speech rights and bring, quote, joy and beauty to the community. Yeah, that's something we all want to do, right? So they couch some things that sound really good in along with the other things that they're doing and stuff and make it sound okay. It's like, hey, this is brownies. But we got this in here too, the Satanism thing and stuff. And their response to criticism over that plaque said that they celebrate differences of opinion and religious practice and stuff that is there. And stuff. So we need to just be aware of the things that are out there and know those things. You probably heard a couple of weeks ago, a church in Minnesota was taken over by protesters that came in and stuff of what that is means for us in the things of where we stand and what we allow in those types of things to do. And how do we deal with these things? What do we need to do to have this taken care of in our lives? That's why we've been talking about these over the last several weeks, of starting off with listening to God, not to other things, but to what does God say, and to prioritize what matters of what God says, and then pursue that instead of what I think is important. And then I do that by creating that space for transformation. And stuff that that's just where it begins as we have a new thing that we're doing. And then second week, we talked about that healthy spiritual rhythm, getting into a rhythm of doing something. And when we have a rhythm in life, it means I can repeat these things. I got my rhythm going. It's sort of like the marathon runner, that he doesn't just bolt out and run as fast as he can go. He gets a rhythm in. And stuff to be able to do that. Now, I've never run a marathon. I don't ever expect to run a marathon. I don't want to run a marathon. I have a cousin that runs a 100-mile marathon, and I think he's crazy. and stuff to do. But we need to have a rhythm of life in our spiritual life. And we do that by beginning with the truth. The truth matters. As we talked about the things of what was on the billboard and what others are doing and stuff, it matters that we go by the truth instead of what somebody just wants to proclaim and stuff to do that. And we, after that, we have the truth. We enter God's presence and we reflect on his word and we remember his promises as part of what we do to have that healthy spiritual rhythm that's there. Last week, we looked at prayer and took those five concepts from Warren Wiersbe's book, Prayer Basic Training, that posture is not important, how we stand, sit, kneel, lay, whatever it is, it's not that. It's the posture of our heart that matters. Are we before God with a proper attitude in our heart? And we need to pray to the Father not to other things and stuff, the universe or anything else. It was we're praying to God. And that we must be yielded to the Father's will. Instead of saying, no, I don't want to do that, I'm going to do my own thing. Even though we've listened and taken those things in, we say, no, it's still our choice whether we're going to do those things. I'm yielded to you. It means I'm going to follow you. And that the glory of God should be our primary concern. It's our focus is God getting the glory, and that we need to pray in faith that he's going to do. And the realizing the three things that make powerful prayer powerful is that we're understanding who God is, what he's really like, that he is good, he is loving, he is present, and he is faithful in all those things of life. And when we believe that, we pray with confidence because we know that God is good and wants the best for us. And we understand persistence, that keeping on and doing those things. And sometimes God works in our hearts as we continue to pray with persistence. As we're waiting for that to happen, God's working on us too. And we need to understand our position. Not once again how we turn and what we face, not that kind of position, but you are God's child. As we sang earlier, thinking about this is the family. They were a part of this. This is what God calls us to be, a part of him. And you can come boldly to him with everything, big or small, all those things of our past. That's where we go with God. So these things so far have all been individual knowledge and actions. But we do not live in the world alone. We are a part of the body of Christ. We're in this together. We are part of one another, a part of the community. Community means, that means sometimes we help somebody else. And sometimes it means I need to let somebody help me. It's not always just, well, I'm the only one that needs to help others. Sometimes we need to receive the help too. And that's okay. Being the body of Christ. That is the deep, authentic friendships that take place in community. That's part of our name as a church, right? Valley Oak Community Church. So many times we'll limit that to saying, well, it's the community wide. And it is. We accept the community to come and be with us and worship. And so, but we are a community too. That we are closer than the community out there. We want them to be close with us. But while they're out there, they're not. But we are drawing them in to be a part of the smaller community, the body of Christ that meets here. And this kind of authentic friendship that help us to grow spiritually and to feel truly supported in the things that we're doing, the problems we have, the things that we face, the decisions that are ours to make, the joys that we share. The last song we sang, this is the place. This is the place where we cry together. This is the place where we start a life together, dedicate children, and commit our lives to each other, and the place where we say hello. Those things that bring us together in all of life and to feel supported in this. Paul talks about it in 2 Corinthians chapter 12. If you want to turn there with me in your Bible, you can. There's several verses, so it's not on the screen but 12 through 27. He talks about the body this way, and he says, the human body has many parts, but the many parts make up one whole body. So it is with the body of Christ. So he's likening our physical bodies that have many different parts to the body of Christ. Stuff where there's many parts, but it's all one body. He said, some of us are Jews, some are Gentiles, some are slaves, and some are free. But we have all been baptized into one body by one Spirit, and we all share the same Spirit. Yes, the body has many different parts, not just one part. If the foot says, I'm not part of the body because I'm not a hand, that doesn't make it any less a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, how would you hear? Or if your whole body were an ear, how would you smell anything? But our bodies have many parts, and God has put each part just where he wants it. How strange a body would be if it had only one part. Yes, there are many parts, but only one body. The eye can never say to the hand, I don't need you. The head can't say to the feet, I don't need you. In fact, some parts of the body that seem weakest and least important are actually the most important. And the parts we regard as less honorable are those we clothe with the greatest care. So we carefully protect those parts that should not be seen, while the more honorable parts do not require this special attention. So God has put the body together in such that such extra honor and care are given to those parts that have less dignity. This makes for harmony among the members, so that all the members care for each other. If honored, all the parts are glad. If you are together, all of you together are Christ's body, and each of you is a part of it. That realizing that you are a part of Christ's body, in the special place that God has put you. So many times we get into that mode of saying, well, I'm not like that person, therefore I'm not important in the church. I'm in the body of Christ. I don't have that role. I can't do this. I'm only doing this. You know, and we put ourselves down to where we're a part of the body. And stuff, when you miss a part of your body, you're affected by it. The rest of you is affected by it. Whether it's you lost a finger or a hand or an arm or a leg or whatever it is, the rest of the body knows about that. And as he said here, you can't just say, well, I don't need that part. Is there adaptation? Yeah, but it's still missed in those things. Paul tells us once again in 1 Thessalonians, so encourage each other and build each other up, just as you're already doing. So as part of the body, as the community, we need to be building each other up instead of not doing anything to do that. And it's not enough to just say, well, I'm not tearing them down. We need to build up. We don't want to be doing something to tear somebody down and say, well, you're no good and you didn't do that very well and all of those things that are derogatory. But it's not enough to just not say anything. We need to encourage one another and build each other up instead of just doing nothing. Jesus said in John chapter 15, beginning at verse 12, he said, this is my commandment, love each other in the same way I have loved you. There is no greater love than to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you slaves because a master doesn't confide in his slaves. Now you are my friends since I have told you everything the Father told me. You didn't choose me. I chose you. I appointed you to go and produce lasting fruit so that the Father will give you whatever you ask for using my name. This is my commandment. Love each other. Did you catch that part of that verse in 15? It says, now you are my friends. Do you get what that means? Think about that for a minute. Jesus, perfect, holy, compassionate, God Almighty come to earth, calls you his friend. You are a friend of God, not a servant, not a stranger, but a friend. James 2:23 says this way, and so it happened, just as the scriptures say, Abraham believed God, and God counted him as righteous because of his faith. He was even called the friend of God. I like being called the friend of God. I think that's a great thing for us to be able to realize, to be able to know that God cares about you, that you are his friend. You're not just a number out there. You're not just a person in the world. So oftentimes we think, well, I've got X number of friends on my Facebook, and we may not know them, and stuff to do. Well, I've got a really close circle of friends. I've got these people here that I would say are my friends. Or we've got a family that I could say is my friend and stuff to do. But I don't know that person that lives in LA that's on my Facebook account. or that lives in another country somewhere and stuff that is there. But each one of us is a friend of God. He knows you personally and calls you his friend, just as he did Abraham. We're still friends of God. Jesus said in Luke chapter 7, verse 34, it says, "The Son of Man has come eating and drinking, and you say, 'Behold, a gluttonous man and a drunkard, a friend of tax collectors and sinners.'" See, we don't have to be something special first. Jesus was a friend of the tax collectors and the sinners, those that were outside of the realm of what the Pharisees and the Sadducees said were worthwhile and would not want to have anything to do with. And Stephanie says, "Why would you do that? Why would you go and be with them?" He says, "They're tax collectors and they're sinners and stuff." But Jesus was a friend of those. Those that didn't like it were calling him a friend of tax collectors and sinners. That's us. That's where that sinners that Jesus calls friend. So what does it mean to be a friend? Healthy biblical friendship has basically three qualities that I want us to look at this morning. To be that friend that Jesus calls us, and to be that friend to others that he calls us to be like. First is that it overlooks differences. Real community isn't based on perfection. It's based on grace. Just like God gives us grace, do we give grace to others in the community that we have? Proverbs 19:11 says, "A man's discretion makes him slow to anger, and it is to his glory to overlook transgression." To overlook what somebody's done. To say, "That's okay, we'll be with you and stuff because of even that transgression that was taking place." Paul talked about it in Romans. He says, "Therefore, accept one another just as Christ has accepted you, so that God will be given glory." That realization that God still loved us first, before we ever became Christian, before we ever asked him for forgiveness, he loved us enough to come and be here with us and accept us. And now here we're not talking about sin in somebody else or in a Christian believer. We're talking about differences. That somebody likes to do something this way, and the difference that you would have, and I would do that differently than you, and you don't like the way I did something and stuff. Those differences that may be there, personality difference, well, that's, they talk more than I do, or they don't talk at all. You know, whatever those differences are we accepting others? This is who God is in their life, and I'm taking them, and I'm accepting each other just as we're called to in Scripture. Colossians 3:13 puts it this way: "Make allowance for each other's faults and forgive anyone who offends you. Remember, the Lord forgave you, so you must forgive others." That realization of what we do when we are offended. We can't say, "Well, I'm offended by that. I'm never going to forgive them for that. They don't deserve it. You know, they did that intentionally." All of those things that we can put our perspective into. Scripture says, we got to make allowance for each other's faults and forgive anyone who offends you. That's there because God forgave us. So we need to forgive others. In Ephesians 4:32, it says, "Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving each other, just as God in Christ has forgiven you." Realization once again. Do we have a tender heart towards somebody else's failure, somebody else's offense that they've done toward us or somebody else? Because we're being forgiven, we need to forgive others. In Philippians 3:12-14, it says, "I don't mean to say that I've already achieved these things or have already reached perfection. Remember, we talked about that being in community is not based on perfection. Paul is saying, I'm not perfect. He says, I haven't got there. None of us are. The apostles of the old, those that were with Jesus as disciples and stuff, none of them were perfect. How many times do we see Peter chastised by Jesus because of what he was doing and the things that were there, and that they weren't perfect in this? It's not about perfection. He says, but I press on to profess, to possess that perfection for which Christ first possessed me. I press on to possess that. It means I'm working toward. I'm going to stumble. I'm going to fall. I'm not going to make it. I'm going to goof up. I'm going to offend you. I'm going to do some things that I probably shouldn't have done. But I need to ask God to forgive me. You need to forgive me too. And he said, no, dear brothers and sisters, I have not achieved it, but I focus on this one thing, forgetting the past and looking forward to what lies ahead. That's what we were saying in that song, New, remember? It says, I forget my past. It's there. It's gone. I'm not taking that with me. I've been made new. And this is what God is doing in me. Forgetting the past and look forward to what lies ahead, I press on to reach the end of the race and receive the heavenly prize for which God, through Christ Jesus, is calling us. I'm working toward a goal, just as all of us are, to reach the end of the race, this life, and be received by Christ as saying, well done, good and faithful service. Come on in. And stuff to do because of my trust in him. Not because of what I've done, but that I've actually completed it. I've worked on, and I'm now there. The psalmist grasped that concept of forgiveness when he said, do not remember the rebellious sins of my youth. Remember me in the light of your unfailing love, for you are merciful, O God. This is the sins of the past, the things that we've done in our youth or other things that are there. God looks at us with his unfailing love. He is merciful, and he calls us to be merciful in the community too. The next healthy biblical friendship quality that we're going to look at is that that looks out for one another. We are called to bear one another's burdens. We're not in this alone. Galatians 6, 2 and 3 says, share each other's burdens, and in this way, you obey the law of Christ. If you think you are too important to help someone, you are not only fooling yourself, you are not that important. I love that where it says, you're not that important. And stuff to do, that we need to trust in Christ and share each other's burdens and not say, well, I'm too important to do that. That's the picture we saw of the story that Jesus told about the man that was beat up on the road and left to die after he was robbed. And the Pharisee came by and said, oh, I'm going to cross the other side of the road. I've got two important things to do. I don't want to touch him. I'll be unclean and things like that. And then one of the temple workers come by and does the same thing and says, oops, I can't stop here. I've got, I can't do that and stuff. But then the despised Samaritan, the ones that the Jews hated so much, came by and helped the Jew that was beat up because it was the right thing to do. He didn't feel himself too important. We only fool ourselves when we think I'm too important to do that. Romans 12, beginning of verse 4 says, just as our bodies have many parts, and each part has a special function, so it is with Christ's body. We are many parts of one body, and we all belong to each other. In this grace, God has given us different gifts for doing certain things. So if God has given you the ability to prophesy, speak out with as much faith as God has given you. If your gift is serving others, serve them well. If you are a teacher, Teach well. If your gift is to encourage others, be encouraging. If it is giving, give generously. If God has given you the leadership ability, take the responsibility seriously. If you have a gift for showing kindness to others, do it gladly. Don't just pretend to love others. Really love them. Hate what is wrong. Hold tightly to what is good. Love each other with genuine affection and take delight in honoring each other. To have that genuine affection, it means it's not fake, it's not just contrived, it's not just while you're standing in front of me. Are we having genuine affection for one another? And are we taking delight in honoring one another? One of the things I love to do is I listen to Focus on the Family's Odyssey program, Adventures in Odyssey program. One just recently, Rodney Rathbone is the troublemaker kid in town. He's always doing something that's crazy, that he's lying about something or whatever. And he does this one thing that's really good, and now he wants credit for it. And he's, oh, look what I did, you know, and stuff to do. He wants everybody to notice him instead of delighting in what somebody else did that was really the work that they did and stuff that's there. So we need to think about things we can do to motivate others. In fact, Scripture says that for us. Hebrews 10:24. Let us think of ways to motivate one another to acts of love and good works. This is where we come in as a community. How can I motivate you and others to do things, to show love and do good works? This is where we are part of the community, because if it's left up to just our own devices, I'm fine with staying in my house and not doing anything. We get so wrapped up in the things of what I'm doing. Well, I've got yard work. I've got this. I've got that to take care of. I mean, I've got to clean the house. I've got to do laundry. All of those things that caught up that keep us confined to ourselves instead of saying, I'm going out there to do something for somebody else. Ephesians 4 again says, always be humble and gentle. Be patient with each other, making allowance for each other's faults because of your love. Make every effort to keep yourselves united in the Spirit, binding yourselves together with peace. Are we making every effort to be united in the Spirit, binding ourselves, the community, together with peace? The next thing that we need to look at is biblical friendships is that a friendship passes on the blessing. In other words, God blesses us so that we can bless others. It's not just about you getting the blessing. It's now, how does that pass on to bless others? Galatians says, what's more, the scriptures looked forward to this time when God would make the Gentiles right in his sight because of their faith. God proclaimed this good news to Abraham long ago when he said, all nations will be blessed through you. So all who put their faith in Christ share the same blessing Abraham received because of his faith. What took place with Abraham? God told him, all nations will be blessed through you. And Paul tells us, so all who put their faith in Christ share the same blessing of Abraham, and we pass it on. Are we passing on the blessings that God has given us? And a big part of that is the blessing of knowing Christ. Jesus, in Mark 10, says that he took the children into his arms and placed his hands on their heads and blessed them. Sometimes the blessing, or not, is because of the choices that we make. The things that we do in our lives. Am I blessed because of, or am I facing a consequence because of my choice? Deuteronomy tells us, as Moses was leaving the people, getting ready to die and let them go on into the promised land, he says, look, today I'm giving you a choice between a blessing and a curse. you will be blessed if you obey the commandments of the Lord your God that I'm giving you today. It sounds like a good blessing, you know. We're going to be blessed by God if we follow the commandments of God. He goes on and says, though, but you will be cursed if you reject the commands of the Lord your God and turn away from him and worship gods you have not known before. The blessings that are ours. What do we do with those? Are we upset because, well, God's not blessing me. Am I doing? Am I following what he asks? Or am I facing the consequences of my choices? I can't drive my car down the street at 60 miles an hour and on Henderson and not expect to get a ticket at some point. And yet we would say, man, you guys are really hounding me. You're not being fair to me when they pull me over and give me a ticket. I would expect to get a ticket when I break the law. When we don't do what God says, we can expect things to not go right for us. Or we can be blessed because we do. There are physical blessings and there are spiritual blessings that come to us. Ephesians tells us in 1:3, it says, all praise to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms because we are united with Christ. To have that spiritual blessing that is ours, to realize what that means for us. See, we can usually identify pretty easily with the physical blessings. The things of, wow, I received this. This went well for me. Got a raise at work. I got, you know, whatever it may be that we can say, ah, man, that's a blessing and stuff. And we see it pretty easy when we are the recipient. It's harder for me to see it when you are the recipient. You know, oh, well, good for you, you know, and stuff, because you got something good in your life and stuff. But how come I didn't get it? You know, and stuff that we can so easily turn it into something like that if we're not careful and stuff to do. But are we passing on the blessings that God gives us? It's not just for us to hold on to and keep for ourselves. Oh, look at what I've got here. I'm not going to let this go on and stuff. And that's how it sours and turns bad. That's what happened to the Dead Sea, right? You know what caused the Dead Sea to be dead? Is that everything flowed into it, but nothing went out. And all the salt and the minerals and everything else that flowed in just accumulated and kept getting more and more until it killed everything in the ocean that was there. And stuff, because it was dead now because of that. And didn't let anything pass out to others. We need to pass on the blessings that God gives us. Spiritual blessings may often be overlooked. Oh, well, let's back up just a minute. I missed one here. It says, cheerfully share your home with those who need a meal or a place. Those are some of the physical blessings that we can do. Are we doing something like that? The tangible things that we can do for someone else. Sometimes it may involve money. Sometimes it might be blessings of service that we've done for them. It doesn't have to be limited to, well, like the only thing I can do is take somebody into my home and stuff. What are you doing to pass on those blessings? But spiritual blessings can be overlooked. Are you sharing what God has done in your life? To let that pass on, to let somebody know that this is the way I was, this is what I am now because of what God's done. Are you also speaking blessings to your children or to your grandchildren, to employees, coworkers, or those that serve you in the community as you go to the store or a restaurant? Are you blessing them as opposed to, how come you're taking so long? What are you doing? You know, and stuff. And your kids, well, you'll never amount to me. I knew you couldn't get that test good and stuff. To do all of those things, are we speaking blessings that encourage and motivate them? Or are we speaking the not good things to them? We need to be careful of what we do. There was a story I heard one time of a woman that moved into a small town. And she'd come from a larger city, and she went to the local drugstore, and she had a friend in town that after she had been there, she complained to the friend about the drugstore. Man, the service was so bad there. They didn't know where anything was. They couldn't pay anything. They didn't have much selection. Just basically a litany of complaints and stuff to do. So the friend that she complained to was a friend with a store owner. So she went to the store owner. And she says, well, my friend just moved here. And she was so impressed by the store and the variety of things that you have. And how helpful and courteous all the employees were. And she just couldn't go on enough about how great your store was. And the next time the lady that complained went into the store, the owner came to him and said, oh, we're so glad to have you here. And you know, if we can help you in any way, let us know. And if you find something that you need that's not in our store, let me know and I'll order it for you. The total change that had come about. But if the friend had gone to the store and said, man, she's really upset with your store. She doesn't like it and you don't have a good selection and stuff. What do you think that store owner would have done when she came in next? Well, what she thinks she's doing, you know, and stuff. Those things, what we do influences the things around us. Romans 12:10 says, love each other with genuine affection and take delight in honoring one another. Are we honoring others and what they're doing? Maybe they weren't the best. Maybe they didn't do it exactly the way we would have. Maybe we would have done it totally different. But are we honoring them for what they do? For who they are? Passing on a blessing to them to be able to encourage them in the ways. Galatians chapter 5. Beginning of verse 13 says, for you have been called to live in freedom, my brothers and sisters. Don't use your freedom to satisfy your sinful nature. That realization of we have a sinful nature and we have freedom. It's when we're not controlling that sinful nature. And we're using our freedom to go, oh, I can do whatever I want. And he says, don't do that. What does he tell us to do instead? He said, instead, use your freedom to serve one another in love. For the whole law can be summed up in this one commandment, love your neighbor as yourself. But if you are always biting and devouring one another, watch out. Beware of destroying one another. Those things that we do that destroy others. Without our even thinking about, oh, it's no big deal, you know, and stuff. Well, I really didn't mean that. And they know I was joking when I said that to them. And all those things that can come about in the way we speak to others and whether we encourage them and bless them or whether we're discouraging them. And as he says here, destroying each other, biting and devouring one another, the nitpicking and stuff that goes on in so many lives. I don't see that here. But we got to be careful of it. We got to be aware of that we're not doing things like that to honor God and to pass on the blessings of life to where we need to be a part of the community, a healthy community with healthy friendships that use these qualities to build each other up. That's part of the community of the church, to not be alone. As we started earlier and said, you know, part of the community is sometimes giving help to others, and sometimes it's being the one that receives the help and letting that happen instead of saying, well, I don't need any help. I don't want to let anybody know I need help and stuff. I don't feel comfortable when somebody helps me. Well, you're now robbing somebody else of the blessing of helping that God's placing on their heart to help somebody, and now you've just kept them from doing that. So be aware of what it takes to be a part of the community. That's where we're here to support each other, to care for one another, to lift each other up, to pray for one another, to be that person to walk with somebody through the struggles that they're going through, to whatever that is, to be seeing them be successful and grow into that point of being what Christ wants them to be and what he wants us to be because we're following what he calls us to be like. Would you stand with me as we have a word of prayer and this and stuff to know that being a part of the community, the body of Christ, is a special thing that we get to be a part of. And being a Christian is not just, well, I don't need anybody else. And I've seen that from people in the past years. Well, I believe in Christ, but I don't need to go to church and stuff. That this is an individual thing. It's an individual relationship, but it's done in the body. We are with this together, one another. The Bible says in the New Testament over and over, the words one another, help one another, encourage one another, care for one another. All of those things that take place, this is a part of what we do as the body. And you guys do it well. Keep it up. Keep doing those things and draw others in and be a part of that body too. Let's pray. Father, we thank you. We thank you for your love for us and for the way that you place us in the body. Help us to see how you have gifted each one of us to be a part of the body that you call us to be a part of, to work together to accomplish your purpose, not just what I have in mind, but to do what you would have, Father, as you are the head of the body. Guide and direct us. Encourage us to be that, to help to follow you and to watch out for one another in the body of Christ. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.